League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning,
Roto Experts.
To the end zone. It's caught. Touchdown. Oh, my heavens.
The mark of fantasy excellence.
It's caught for a touchdown.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Welcome back for hour number two of Roto Experts in the morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Galina hanging out with George Kurtz. Sean Engel producing our show, keeping us flying straight like he always does. And George, you know, it's very, very early in the season in fantasy baseball. But without divulging too much of your strategy, are there any players that you're focused on in terms of waiver wire ads this week?
That goes from league to league. About who's available there. One of those impossible questions there. I know people ask me that, you know, in a question like that. Unless I know your league, the size of your league, who's available, who's not, you know, it's a question I really can't answer. That's right up there with how much fab should I spend on this guy. Once again, that changes from league to league.
Yeah,
about how much
true.
Fab you should. Yeah. You need to know your league when it comes to fab. You truly do. Do you have an aggressive league? Is everybody paying attention? Who needs what? Mm-hmm. That changes things. Or do you have a very quiet league where people don't spend their money? People are very, very stubborn. They're very they're miserly. They don't spend money on fab. You know, or like I said, you could have a crazy aggressive league where everybody blows out their budget and, you know, 2 weeks into the season. You never know how that's going to work there. So, once again, what's, are you playing a 10-team league, 12-team league, 15-team league, 8-team league? You know, I always remember what's the... My Sakata would say about people in 8-team leagues get more friends, you know. everybody's available, so it's one of those open-ended questions that without knowing the size of your league, I really can't answer because generally when I hear about this, then I start thinking about my league, who's available in my league, you know, which is my home league, it's a 13-team league, you know, and it's not fair, but that's how my mind tends to work here, you know, since I don't know the size of your league, I could leave players out. Because I didn't think they'd be available in your league, or I'm naming players because you're playing in a 7-team league that are long gone as well. So it can go either way here. Very difficult question to answer.
No, I was asking specifically about you, not technically in general. So you could take your attitude, and you know what you could do with it, right, George?
Well, you know, I have my eyes on Mike Trout because there's a chance Mike Trout might be available, and I think I might pick him up tonight. All right. Remember, I told you before the show I'm hungry here, so you're dealing with a hungry guy.
What do you think a good fab bid would be on a guy like a Mike Trout? I think I've heard of him.
I think I might blow the budget, you know. maybe I'll save a dollar, you know, for that starting pitcher six I might need in August. That's another little pet peeve of mine. I like zero bids. I think you should be allowed to bid zero. If no one else bid for him, why shouldn't I be able to bid zero? You know, obviously I'd lose if anybody bid.
I'm with you. Yes.
But I like zero bids.
Yes. All right. So why don't we continue just breaking down some news and notes from around the league, and maybe as the show moves on, we could take a look at some specific box scores from Sunday night. But what's the story with Chris Sale
Obviously had a tough outing Thursday. Much has been made about his loss of velocity in his first start. You know, I tell you, we had discussed this, I think it was last week, where the Red Sox had given him a ton of money on an extension. And I had said, hey, you know, kind of made me feel more comfortable. You know, we were still in draft season where, you know, previously I was a little you know, hesitant to draft him based on the way he ended his season last year. Had some injury concerns, but I felt that the, you know, it's with the Red Sox investing so much money in him that they had done their due diligence. You know, so are you concerned with this? You know, or look, you know, at the start of the season, and I guess we've been kind of blessed so far, right? But I think today you're going to have a few teams playing in situations where it's like in the mid-30s. But, you know, April, you know, March, April, it's still cold. Should we read anything into this velocity issue with Chris Sale?
You know, I think this is all – are you an optimist or a pessimist? All right, now you and I did discuss this last
week. And I've already dubbed you the fantasy optimist.
Yes, yes, that's me. I'm Mr. Optimism. When it comes to Chris Sale, yeah, I have some concerns. I do. Okay? He's had arm injuries past – I mean, not injuries, but you know, where he had – I guess the long season takes its toll on him. He's not the same pitcher, although he was great in the World Series last year. You know, he fought through it. Velocity was certainly down in game one, but he had a great spring. And what you said is true. I mean, the Red Sox, well, they know him better than anybody else's medicals. There's no way they give him that kind of contract without knowing that he's healthy, right? There's no way. You know,
right.
I think they gave him too long a contract anyway. Because I think he'll once again start to break down as the years go along. But once again, I felt better about it. Okay, now I wasn't taking him in any leagues, you know, because I don't try for where he was going. Second round, I would have rather had Gerrit Cole, Justin Verlander, these guys who I trust to be able to pitch all season long. Where I know Sale,
yeah, yep.
I'm going to have to put him on a DL eventually, because the Red Sox are going to put him on a DL eventually just to give him a break. They do every year, which is I don't think that's a bad idea, by the way. I think that's kind of smart baseball. But Sale does scare me. Yes, he does. But that being said, it's one freaking start in April.
Yeah,
and maybe he's going through a dead arm period. We hear about this every year, right? Players go through dead arm. Pitchers go through dead arm periods. Maybe that's what this is for him right now, and he'll be fine in a couple of starts. So I want to take that into effect as well. Would I like him to pitch in warmer weather? Sure. Pitchers tend to pitch better in warmer weather. I mean, you look throughout baseball today. Yeah, it's a little brisk in some places. Cincinnati, 37 degrees. Today. Brr. Even here in New York, it's 54, so it's okay, but it's supposed to rain. So that could play an effect on what goes on, you know, as far as play is concerned. 53 in Washington, no rain in Washington, so you're not worried about that. 38 in Minnesota. Brr. That's cold. 41 in KC. Cold. You know, baseball's not really meant to be played in this kind of cold weather here. So, yeah, I do take effect. Or I should say, I do take a look at this and realize, cold. But what that really points you to, Joe, by the way, when it's cold, is DFS and starting pitchers. And I like to start pitchers who pitching in cold weather. Hitters don't like to hit in cold weather. You know, Cam and I have been on this the past couple of shows here. You know, you swing in a bat, you hit the ball at the end of the bat or off the handle. You get those BBs in your hand, you know, the buzzing, and that's a... It's not a pain, but it's an annoying feeling. It just doesn't go away. If your hands feel like they're, you know, we call it bees because it hurts. And it feels like your hands are buzzing. So hitters just don't like the swing in that. They just don't. So it'll be something I do look for. You know, yesterday I know Cam and I were both on Bauer and Odorizzi pitching in that game in Minnesota. It's going to be 37 degrees. It's going to be cold. You know, we got some games here today we can pick on as well. You know, I mentioned, once again, maybe you want to go back to the well with Carlos Carrasco, 38 degrees. You know, Michael Pineda for the Twins. I don't know if I can go that direction in DFS, but, you know, Joe, we looked at that Cleveland lineup yesterday. My God, that's a bad lineup. That's a team that's desperate to get Lindor back in there. We don't know when he's coming back. But without Lindor, that's a minor league lineup. You take Jose Ramirez out, there's nobody there. So that's a lineup you can pick on with starting pitchers in DFS. I just don't think I can do it today. I think I need to see Pineda pitch first to make sure he can get the job done before I do anything. And the other really cold weather game would be Pittsburgh-Cincinnati. Trevor Williams versus Sonny Gray. They were supposed to go yesterday. I know Sonny Gray blames the Yankees. You know, that it was all the Yankees' fault that he was terrible, which I just find it interesting. You were good on the road, bad at Yankee Stadium. So did the Yankees only tell you what to throw at Yankee Stadium? On the road, they let you go, all right, do whatever you want to do? Yeah, good luck with that.
I kind of like, and you kind of laughed at me in a way, I kind of like Sonny Gray this season. He's back, reunited with his college pitching coach, so maybe you get back to basics. So it sounds like you have some hard feelings when it comes to Sonny Gray and his time with the Yankees. Oh. I mean, he was, let's face it, he was terrible, you know, except when he didn't pitch at Yankee Stadium. Last year.
It has nothing to do with the Yankees. I can get I don't base my fandom on fantasy world, but I just find it funny that he blamed the Yankees for his bad pitching, which, once again, he was bad at Yankee Stadium. On the road, he was fine. So unless you truly believe the Yankees, you know, on the road, you can do whatever you want to do, but Yankee Stadium, we want you to pitch like this, and if you believe that, good luck. And also, if he was good in Oakland, right? Oh, and Oakland's one of the best pitchers' ballparks in Major League Baseball.
Yes.
It's not the best, right? Yankee Stadium's not. Yankee Stadium, you know, right, small right field porch. If he thinks Yankee Stadium's a problem,
I knew you,
wait till
I knew
he gets
going,
to Cincinnati. Yeah. Wait till he gets to Cincinnati, where it's all small. All right, center field small, left field small, right field small. It's all small. You know, you put that ball in the air, and he is a fly ball pitcher. Good luck to you, sir. Ball's going to fly out. It'll be the Reds' fault, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, I agree with you. But I still I think he has a little bit of a bounce back, but we'll see. But you're right. It might not be too much fun for him pitching in that bandbox of a ballpark. But yeah, I'm looking at the Indians depth chart, and you're right. And we had, I think we talked about this in the past. I mean, just this lineup, it's like you described it well, like a minor league lineup. You know, when the Indians had put Kluber on the block, Corey Kluber, and supposedly even it sounds like they might have listened to offers for Bauer. But do you think, I don't want to say that they were looking to kind of almost like do a soft rebuild. But, you know, what do you think that they were looking to accomplish when it comes to like trading a Kluber, like maybe replenishing their minor league system, maybe getting some baseball ready players that they could just slip into this lineup and supplement, you know, their roster? Because, you know, when you're still up and down, I mean, they've still got a tremendous pitching staff, you know, even if they got rid of Kluber, Bauer, Carrasco, Clavinger, Bieber, I mean, not many teams have a better four-man rotation other than that. And, you know, taking Kluber out of there.
I mean, you know, you can make an argument that they're the best, as far as a five-man rotation, it's the best in baseball. I mean, Kluber, Clevinger, Carrasco, Bauer, Bieber. I don't know another team that can go five deep. You know, there are some other rotations you might like more. You might like to watch the Nationals rotation more because they're so strong at top with Strasburg. I know he pitched lousy yesterday. Corbin and Scherzer. Maybe the Mets with Thor, Wheeler, and DeGrom. But as far as five, none of those teams can go five. And the Nationals are throwing, what, Anibal Sanchez at you and somebody else like, oh, Hellickson. The Mets are throwing Justin Vargas at you. Yeah, good luck with that. Or Jason Vargas. So, you know, the Indians had a great rotation. So you can make that the argument that, yeah, they can afford to lose one. You can trade Kluber and get some offensive help here, and you're still okay. Yeah, you may have an average fifth starter, but it doesn't matter because you have the other strong starters here. Maybe they're trading Kluber because you and I have seen it over the past couple of years. He's just like Chris Sale. He dies at the end. Yeah, he loses. Right now, he's a wiffle ball pitcher. I mean, that ball moves all over the place, but the ball, as he gets tired, long season, not the same guy. Ball doesn't have the same movement. Velocity slows down. Not a shock. That's a lot of pitchers. Tough to pitch, you know, 32 starts in baseball. So maybe that's part of the reasons. You know, and once again, they could have replenished their outfield because their outfield replenished their hitting. I mean, that lineup yesterday with Cleveland, I mean, I'm going through it with Cam. I'm like, are they still in spring training? The lineup yesterday, Leonis Martin, Jose Ramirez, Tyler McQueen, Carlos Santana, Hanley Ramirez, Jake Bowers, Roberto Perez, Brad Miller, Moroff at shortstop. I'm not even sure what his first name is. I'll go with Mike. All right? Think about that. All right? That's a minor league lineup. Or you have a couple of aging veterans, Santana, Ramirez. You know, Jose Ramirez, who we absolutely love. And then everybody else is like, oh, my God. What's going on here? this is a team that week has been a World Series contender, right? And to have kind of lineup is surprising, to put it nicely, surprising. So to have to field this kind of lineup here. So yeah, I can see where they were going with this. And I'm of the belief, whether it's my fantasy team or if I was a GM of a Major League Baseball team, anyone's tradable. Everyone should always be on the market. Let's see what's out there. Let's see what somebody will offer me for. Maybe I like the deal. You know, that sort of thing. I don't think Mike Trout is untradeable in fantasy. If I own Trout and Joe Galina comes calling me, he's offering me this, this, that, the other thing, Mike Trout goes. It's really that simple here. So I don't blame the Angels for the Indians. I don't know where Trout Angels. Okay. I don't blame the Indians for checking out what's going on with Kluber. And they were talking with San Diego, which makes a whole bunch of sense. San Diego is one of the best minor league systems in Major League Baseball, maybe the best. So maybe that picks up again. You know, and the Padres also were checking in on Stroman of San Diego for Toronto. The Padres need starting pitching. So I don't think this is the last we'll hear of it. More with Stroman, though, than Kluber. I don't know if the Indians will trade Kluber midseason unless they're out of it, and I don't think anybody expects that to happen. You know, I know they're not having a great opening against the Twins here, but they're still going to win their share of games. That American League Central is a bad, bad division outside of the Twins and the Indians. They'll wear more than their fair share of games. I don't think they're going to get out of it. So I don't think they'll move Kluber midseason, but I think we'll hear about this again next year.
Great stuff from you, George. And, you know, like you mentioned, I mean, that this the last thing that they needed was for Lindor to add to his injury woes. You know, it was kind of, you know, it was feeling more comfortable with the way that Lindor was progressing with his calf issue. It looked like, you know, he was recuperating ahead of schedule. Now he's got this ankle issue, and supposedly he's heading to Green Bay on Monday to visit with an ankle specialist, which that doesn't sound good. It's not just like if you have a sprained ankle that, you know, you just get a rest and rehab, but kind of ugly, making me think that this could be a little bit more serious, where he has to go visit with an ankle specialist. And I didn't know that Green Bay was the home of ankle specialists.
Yeah, listen, I thought the same thing. On all cases, I never heard of anybody going to Green Bay for see a specialist. None of that really matters, mind you. I'm not making fun of Green Bay. Although every time I think that, I think of Andrew Brandt. Andrew Brandt's the former general manager of the Packers. And he has a running joke about there's two seasons in Green Bay, winter and July 4th. That's it. So, you know, why would anybody want to set up practice in Green Bay? But, yeah, also, as far as getting back on track here, when was the last time anybody went to go see a specialist that wasn't bad news?
Right, right.
And if you got good news on it, you know, Dr. Galina says, hey, your ankle's good, you'll be ready to go in 2 weeks, you're not going to see another doctor. You're generally not. So if you're going to see a specialist, that generally means that, you know, Dr. Galina said, you're screwed. This is a high ankle sprain. You're done for 2 months. You might need surgery, that sort of thing. And now he's going to get a specialist to make sure that Dr. Galina is right. So, yeah, I have some concerns about Lindor.
Wish my mother was listening to this show. She always wanted me to be a doctor. But you bring up some great points there, George. All right, when we come back, we'll talk about Daniel Murphy and the Rockies. Murphy's got a little hurt finger. We'll be back with more Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts in the Morning. Little Jimi Hendrix bringing us back. George playing a little air guitar.
Oh, I'm a Hendrix guy. I'm definitely an Hendrix guy. Always a good tune for Jimmy.
Absolutely. Gone Too Soon, right?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it happens to a lot of great artists, right? They, I don't know what you want to call it. They live the hard life, and they live it up, and we don't get to enjoy their music for long.
Yeah. Him, and then in that era, you know, a few other people that died young. I was a big Doors fan. I mean, a little bit before my time, came out in the late 60s, so really didn't, you know, familiarize myself with them in the 80s. But Jim Morrison, man, I love the Doors. I don't know about you.
And I'm a Doors guy as well. And you know, once again, another guy taken away from us too soon.
Maybe.
People believe that's still alive, too. Yeah.
Like, right. God. That's why I said maybe.
Yeah, Elvis is still alive, too, folks. Yeah. He's doing game shows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Good luck
and
with that.
Eating fried peanut butter and banana sandwiches as well.
Ugh.
So, well, you said you were hungry, so I figured, you know.
Not that hungry.
Hey, were you a baseball card collector?
Yes, I was. And I had a lot. I was very good at Flip. Yeah. You remember Flip, that game we played when we were kids?
Absolutely. Love it. I could still, flip pretty well.
But I was very good at Flip, and I can get all my friends' cards fairly easily. Unfortunately for me, back when I guess my more volatile days, when the Yankees lost the 81 series to the Dodgers, I threw all my baseball cards out.
You're kidding me?
No, I am not.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually you hear the story that my mom took my box of baseball cards and tossed them or gave them away to the kid down the block or whatnot. But I never heard of someone just actually throwing them away in anger. You have some anger issues, man.
Yep. Back then, much more calmer person now, and I threw them and I had some good cards too. So thank you for ruining my day.
Well, the reason I bring it up is there's a story about this guy in California. He bought a Babe Ruth card. I don't know if you saw this, for $2. And supposedly it's worth a heck of a lot more than that. I think it's going to go up for auction. This guy's going to be a rich man.
How do you not know that a Babe Ruth card could be worth money?
$4.5 million. That's what they're thinking it could get in an auction. 1921 Babe Ruth baseball card.
That's amazing to me that someone would sell that card not knowing that it's worth money. I mean, it's Babe Ruth. We're not talking about, a card someone you never heard of. It's Babe freaking Ruth.
Yeah. That's why, you like to go to, yard sales or estate sales or whatnot.
Yeah, I don't mind. If they're close, I'll go. It's on a nice day, too. Why not? It's 10, 15 minutes out of your day. Who cares? The only other good yard sale that I can remember where funny one was, I'm a golfer. I guess this goes back to me having some anger issues, by the way. And I once lost my 5-wood in a tree. It may have gotten there because I hit a bad shot and I threw it in the tree. But once again, so I looked at 5-wood in the tree, and I'm at a yard sale one day, and I see a 5-wood. I'm like, oh, excellent. Mm-hmm. I'll take this. I'll take the 5-wood. And he was like, $5 or $10, something like that. I'm like, that's fine. I'll take it. And he goes, no, that's not for the club. It's for the set. So I got a whole damn set for like $10. It was great. And I bought another set. They had two sets. I'm like, I'll take them both. Hey. Now I got to throw more clubs and trees. You never know what kind of deals you're going to get at these things. So they're well worth going to. I try not to throw clubs and trees anymore. But, golf makes me angry. Golf still makes me angry. I've calmed down a lot, but golf still pisses me off.
I like that you say you try to not throw your clubs and trees anymore. So, but, that's a good story.
It's a great way to get your anger out, man.
There you go. So let's get back to some baseball news. Daniel Murphy ended up fracturing his finger, made a defensive play on Friday night, and going to be on the IL for a little bit. So what do you think this means in terms of the Rockies? I was looking at their lineup from yesterday. Maybe it gives a little bit more clarity and helps out some of those drafters who drafted Garrett Hampson, right? Because when you look at their lineup yesterday, you had McMahon playing first base. He went 2-for-4. We're talking Ryan McMahon. And Garrett Hampson started at second. And, everybody's excited about Hampson, and I don't blame him because this guy gets at bats, he's going to steal some bases for you.
I think you hit exactly. I would assume that makes life easier for Ryan McMahon and Hampson owners. And McMahon plays first base, Hampson plays second, and there you go. Until Murphy comes back, you know what's going on here. I have to assume that's what's the benefit here. Now, listen, it could also mean that maybe on certain occasions against tough left-handers, Ian Desmond goes back to first and Tapia plays the outfield.
I hope not.
You know what I mean? I'm just throwing it out there. This could be an option at certain times. But I think for the immediate effect, you don't have to worry about McMahon anymore. You get him back in your lineup. Now, how long Murphy's going to be out? It's a fractured finger. He's already on the IL, so he knows at least 10 days, probably closer to 2 weeks. I don't think we'll see him maybe until May. So maybe you get a month of this. Fractured finger also concerns me. Any injury to the hands or wrist always concerns me for a hitter for obvious reasons. If that's not up to par, it's going to be tougher to swing. So I worry about that somewhat here. But for the immediate, hey, if you're a Ryan McMahon owner, you're celebrating a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Carlos Correa had been dealing with some back issues last season, limited him. Now he's been dealing with a neck strain. Carlos Correa is expected to be in the Astros lineup today. Was Carlos Correa a guy that you avoided because of injury issues, or were you comfortable enough that he had put those behind him to draft him? Did he make any of your rosters? Do you think that are you concerned with this neck strain based on the issues that he had with his back last season?
I don't believe I own him, but I wasn't consciously avoiding him. So I would have drafted him. I just don't think it just didn't work out. I just didn't get him. I would have taken him though. I think I had good feelings about him. This injury seemed to crop up late in spring training, where all of a sudden he's out. He's supposed to start today, so if he misses a couple of games, not a big deal. I think he'll be fine. But to answer your question, no, I wasn't consciously avoiding him, but I also don't have him on any team. So take that for what it's worth.
All right. Take that in your pipe and smoke it, right? That's an old-fashioned saying. Should we start breaking down? Let's break down a couple of box scores from yesterday. We had looked like almost like a marquee matchup, right? You had Thor against Strasburg, who you reminded me is not pitching today, pitched yesterday. As a Yankee fan, I'm trained to dislike the Mets. But the Mets, by the way, ended up beating the Nationals yesterday 11-8. Let's see, you had three hits from Pete Alonso, two runs batted in. Jeff McNeil, 4-for-5, two runs batted in. I'm kind of excited to watch this team as a baseball fan this season. I mean, they have a lot of players that I like Brandon Nimmo, Conforto, who had two hits yesterday. They've always, burned through catchers, right? But Wilson Ramos was 2-for-4 yesterday. A lot of good moving parts offensively for this team. I think Med Rosario is a guy that is going to continue to progress. What are your thoughts on this offense and for the Mets this season?
Listen, that National League East is going to be brutal. Mets, Braves, Nationals, Phillies. They're all good teams. The Mets are a good team. They've fixed some of their issues, mainly because they mortgaged some of their future to do it by trading away those young players for Cano and Edwin Diaz. And we know the pitching staff should be good, regardless of what happened yesterday with Thor.
Yeah.
All right, Zach Wheeler goes today. I think Mets, we have some hope that he could be a pretty good. He's not going to be to the level of Wheeler. DeGrom with Thor could be, but I think we have some hope that he could be a really good fourth starter. All right, Jason Vargas is what Jason Vargas is. He shouldn't be on the team, but most teams have problems with their fifth starters. So the Mets are going to be a good team. Alonso looks like the real deal. where this guy is going to be able to hit. Cano obviously will hit at second. Rosario is, I think, getting better and better each year. Third base is what it is. I mean, I probably prefer Jeff McNeil there over, you know, Lowry and Todd Frazier. But that's going to be a mess somewhat when everyone's healthy there. Maybe you move McNeil to the outfield and you worry about it when Cespedes comes back. But anyway, look at it. The Mets should be able to hit. They should be able to pitch. The bullpen looks good. This is going to be a contending team. I mean, they are just going to be a contending team. And they're going to be a team. You know, if the Mets can get into the playoffs, who's going to want to face that top three? You know, once again, Wheeler, DeGrom, Thor. Assuming Thor figures it out, didn't pitch very well yesterday. I mean, no one's going to want to face that top three. I mean, in a playoff series, that's enough. I mean, who can match up with that? Washington can, right? Strasburg, Scherzer, Corbin. Phillies can't. They just have Nola. You know, Braves really can't. You know, not even close. St. Louis can't. Milwaukee can't. Dodgers can't. Unless Kershaw comes back to pitching like Kershaw. So the Mets are really in good shape as long as everyone stays healthy. We know the bugaboo with the Mets over the past, what, decade has been health and how they handle their injured players, which is hilarious. You know, hopefully things have changed in the BVW. And, you know, you mentioned something earlier. You know, you're a Yankee fan. You hate the Mets. I don't hate the Mets. I don't understand why I would hate the Mets. I hate the Mets four times a year. You know, when they play the Yankees, that's it. Other than that, I don't care about the Mets. Remember, I generally have to root for the Mets because I have some of their players on my fantasy teams. Right, yeah. I've got Cano on a lot of my fantasy teams. You know, Conforto's a guy I really like. He's on several teams. So I can't hate the Mets for that reason. Can't hate anybody. I can't hate Boston because I have all their teams. You know, I'm a Yankee fan, but fantasy makes me money. Right? DFS, yeah, I make money. Yep. You know, fantasy things, I win money. Yankees aren't paying my bills. You know, Hal Steinbrenner has not come and say, hey, George, here's a check for you. Go pay your electric bill. It's not happening. All right, so I got to have my allegiance is to fantasy first. Like I said, I've just never understood the reason of why Yankee fans automatically hate the Mets. They play in the other league four times in a year. Other than that, I don't know why you'd hate. I'm not saying you should root for the Mets, mind you. I don't root for the Mets. Right. I don't. I root for my fantasy players. I don't care if the Mets lose, but I don't care if they win either.
Yeah. You know, for me, I didn't say I hated them, but I've been trained not to like them. And, you know, basically just, you know, as kids in the schoolyard, it was like, you know, it was just going back and forth, you know, Yankee fans, Met fans, just kind of fun. It's just what being a fan growing up in New York City was about, you know, when I was a kid. So, but you're right, hate is a strong word. I didn't actually use it, but stop putting words in my mouth there, Kurtz. So, but it is interesting.
You're a hater. You hated them. You're afraid to admit it. Hate.
Fantasy optimist here. But, yeah, hate. I mean, this is the year where, you know, I have a couple of shares of McNeil. I would have drafted Alonso if I could, but I always got beat to him. But, yeah, it's going to be a fun team to watch. Interesting, the Syndergaard and Strasburg lines yesterday, very, very similar. They both pitched six innings, gave up four runs. Syndergaard, seven strikeouts. Strasburg, eight. Strasburg has always had you figure that he's going to be on the IL for a couple weeks a season. You have any shares of him?
Strasburg, I know I wanted to, but he's a guy I always seem to lose at the wrong end of the round. Like I have the bottom of a round pick, and he goes on the top of the round, that thing. So I don't think I have shares of him. I'm not 100% sure. I might, but I don't think I do.
Mm-hmm. How many leagues you playing again?
As far as redraft, five, best ball is a lot more than that. So that's why I'm not sure. I know I wanted him. Right. I was looking to grab him, but I just think he's a guy I just kept, once again, wasn't avoiding him. And I did want him. I was looking to grab him, but he always went, you know, I wasn't getting sniped, but he always go four or five picks before I was getting ready to grab him.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's continue going around the league. Not really an exciting game yesterday, from a overall baseball standpoint, but a couple of fantasy relevant guys that I just want to bring up here. Royals beat the White Sox 8-6 yesterday. Yoan Moncada, a guy, big time prospect. Had a nice day, 3-for-5, two runs scored. I believe he also hit his first home run of the season. So I started to warm up to Moncada this year. I've kind of stayed away because I hated the strikeouts. But I think that he this might be the year that he finally figures it out. I don't know what your feelings on Moncada are, or if you own any shares of him in any of your fantasy teams.
I'm pretty sure I don't own any shares of Moncada. Mm-hmm. This wasn't a player I was talking to. I do think he's going to get better and better. You know, I do. Mm-hmm. I think he'll be a guy. He's still young. He was the main piece of the Chris Sale deal. Obviously, that hasn't worked out right now, but I think he'll get better and better. He just needs to be given time, which, once again, fantasy owners, we're not a patient bunch. We're not a patient bunch at all.
Right.
But I think we have to remember this kid is young. This is not he's 28 years old. My guy, he's never going to figure it out. He's still young, and he does play in a bandbox of a ballpark, where mm-hmm. when the weather heats up, the ball's going to fly out of there. So I still have hope for him. I just don't know. I just wasn't willing to bank on him this year. He'll be, 24 next month? Actually, I'm sorry. We're still in March. In May, he'll be 24. So I think this is still a kid who 20 home runs could be coming, which we kind mm-hmm. of like. The average is what I'm concerned about, though. That's why I don't draft him, because when he's middle mm-hmm. infield type. And by the time I'm looking at my middle infielders, Joe, usually I'm looking at protect average or a guy who's going to add average. I'm looking for that right. category filler. And his average, that 20 home runs, 22 home runs might also come with a .230 batting average. I generally can't afford that.
Mm-hmm. That's totally understandable. On the other side of this game, we had Jorge Soler. Nice game from Soler, who, before getting hurt last year, looked like he was starting to turn the corner. But 3-for-3, 3 runs batted in for Soler. When we come back, we can talk about him and continue breaking down some more of these fantasy baseball box scores. You're listening. Actually, I want to talk some football before the show's over as well. A couple of players making moves here. Listening to Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts in the Morning. Joe Galina, along with George Kurtz, Sean Engel producing our show. Ever seen a one-winged dove there, George?
Not that I remember, no. Not that I'm staring at any doves anytime soon, but no, I have not seen a one-winged dove. Good tune, though.
Yeah, I love that tune by Stevie Nicks. Big Stevie Nicks fan. You like Stevie Nicks? Are you a Fleetwood Mac kind of guy?
Both.
You like it better as a solo?
Stevie Nicks. I prefer a solo or with Fleetwood Mac. Never really thought about this before. I'm a big Phil Collins fan, but I prefer Genesis more than Phil Collins. This is close. I think I'd go more Stevie Nicks solo, but I like Fleetwood Mac as well, so I could be talked into either one.
There you go. So before we went to commercial, we were talking a little bit about we just mentioned that Jorge Soler, had a nice little game in previous last year. Looked like he had finally started to figure it out, right? Had 9 home runs, .265 batting average, and 223 at-bats. Do you think that this is the year that he could put it all together, maybe provide fantasy owners with what they've expected from him? He was pretty well-known prospect for the Cubbies.
Yeah, the main guy in the Wade Davis deal that wrote Wade Davis to the Cubs before he left in free agency to Colorado. Do I think this could be the year? I think last year probably was the year, and you mentioned injuries derailed him. Stay healthy. Yeah. Once again, stay healthy. Yeah. Prove to me you can play a full year. and I'll believe. So, yeah, I think this could be the year if he stays healthy. Big if. You know, fantasy-wise, sure, somebody worth taking a flyer on, but very tough to rely on him because, once again, I don't think he'll stay healthy.
All right. Let's take a look at the Phillies and the Braves. Phillies beat the Braves 8-6 yesterday. See that home run by Harper? 465.
Yeah, he crushed it.
Go ahead.
He crushed it.
Yeah. So this Atlanta team, I mean, do you think that the undoing is going to be that their pitching staff? I mean, you know, when you look at, I mean, and this is another thing. I mean, they're a team that might benefit from signing, you know, a veteran like a Keuchel or whatnot. I mean, you've got to love their offense, and they have a lot of talent in their starting rotation, a lot of young talent. You know, injuries have hurt them.
It's injuries. It's also that, I mean, listen, Fulton Aarons is nice, but it's not Max Scherzer we're talking about here as far as a big loss here. Gausman, let's face it.
Yeah.
Gausman is not someone you're really all that concerned about as far as what he's done. So, injuries have hurt them, but it's not crushed them. This is a team that probably should have done more during the offseason. Now, the problem for Atlanta is they have a lot of good young prospects. They're sort of in some ways the same situation San Diego is. They were probably a year ahead of schedule last year, so they teased us a little bit with making the playoffs. But when you look at this team, I mean, Julio Teheran, Newcomb, Wright, Wilson, Max Fried, Fulton Aarons, Gausman, it's deep, but where's the top end talent there? And that's probably still coming. You know, Ian Anderson, Tuukka Rantanen. These guys are in the minors. Kyle Wright is down there as well. Wright and Wilson are two of their better prospects, but they probably need seasoning. When it's going to take a year, maybe even a year and a half before you really see the true talent this team has. So I think this is the definition of a team that's going to need to take two steps back for one step forward. You know, I think this is going to be a disappointing season because fans were thinking, oh, we made the playoffs this year. We're going to keep making the playoffs. Now, I think this will be a year where you're going to take that two steps back and get the seasoning of some of these players, and next year be maybe more your year here. I might feel a little differently if this wasn't as strong a division as it is, but this National League East maybe the best division in baseball right now. I think it's going to hurt the Braves.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point there, George. So just a couple of the notable numbers from this Phillies Braves. I mean, Josh Donaldson batting from the two slot, 0-4. Yeah, I mean, it's still early. Don't worry about that. But it'll be interesting to see if he could return to form. Freddie Freeman, 4-5. You expect that out of him. A couple of RBI. And we move over to the Phillies, where we talked about Harper hitting his first home run for the Phillies. And, very early, but, Michael Franco hit his second home run of the season, 2-3. I don't want to overstate it, but this is a guy that, you know, little by little, he's been improving and seems, I guess if you could, I don't know if you want to call him locked in this early in the season, but what are your expectations for Michael Franco, third baseman? He was challenged for the third base job from Kingery. He came ahead. But what do you think long-term for him for this season?
Well, it worked out that they didn't sign Machado either, right? They were going to sign one of Harper and Machado. They ended up going with Harper. So that worked out for him also. My biggest worry about Franco, listen, I think what you said is correct. He's been improving year after year, and I think we're seeing once again another step in improvement this year. There's no pressure on him. I mean, none. Right, no one's expecting him to carry this team. That's going to be Realmuto. That's going to be Harper, Segura, the guys they acquired, right, along with Hoskins. So he can sort of fly under the radar here and just play. Just play and just hit. My biggest worry is this. Boy, he's batting eighth. In the National League, that means you're batting before the pitcher. There are going to be a lot of times teams are, you know, two outs, no one's pitching to them. They're going to pitch around you. So you got to take your walks there and not go out of your strike zone. So that's concerning somewhat. I think you should hit a little higher. Probably maybe ahead of Cesar Hernandez, maybe even ahead of Odubel Herrera. But it is what it is. It's a strong, it's a deep lineup there in Philadelphia. So I don't like the fact of where he's hitting, you know, so low in the lineup. But other than that, the power's legit. You know, I think 25-plus home runs are coming.
I agree with you.
And listen, if he stays healthy, 30 home runs wouldn't shock me either.
Let's move over to Rangers and Cubs. Rangers beat the Cubs 8-6 last night, and it was Yu Darvish returning to Texas. He was greeted very poorly, 2.3 innings pitched, walked seven. Can the Cubs be a competitor? First of all, I mean, we just taken this as a one-off. I mean, Darvish coming back from injury, early in the season. How concerned are you about Darvish since he's coming off an injury? And, you know, how badly do the Cubs need Darvish in order to, be a contender this year?
You know, I said yesterday we can. Darvish's start was one I wanted to watch. Because we don't know what we're going to get. We just don't know what we're going to get. Because he's coming off with the injury, facing a Texas team that, not so good, but playing in a ballpark where the ball flies out. Well, the results weren't so hot. What do you go? 2 2/3 innings, struck out 4, and really got bombed. That may be the most concerning thing out of everything, by the way, 7 walks.
Yeah.
Once again, we're talking 1 start. So I don't want to hit the panic button, Joe. You know, ding, 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 ding. But my hand's getting there. You know, I didn't touch him. He's a guy I was somewhat interested in fantasy, but I didn't ended up not getting him because I just couldn't pull the trigger. Once again, conservative owner, guy coming back off injury, you just don't know what you're going to get. And first outing, damn, not good. You know, once again, we'll hope it's just 1 outing here. But he's a guy that won't be in any of my lineups. He needs to prove it to me now. So he won't be in any of my lineups. If I did own him, I'm not starting him in DFS. Not until I see at least 1 good start, and I might need 2.
Yeah. Some other notable performances from this game. Javier Baez, some people are kind of like cooling off to him. And look, I get it. You know, he had a great, great year last year. There was going to be it has to be some regression. I mean, he's a free swinging guy, but I still think he's going to, hit for power and the stolen bases will be there. 2-for-4 yesterday for Baez, batting .444 in this young season. Your thoughts on Baez for this year?
Looks good, right? Stole a base yesterday, too, so he's running already. I mean, he's got the 11th commandment rule. Thou shalt not pass without being swung at. All right, that's what he does. He's going to swing the bat. He's not going to walk 80 times. So, his OBP is always going to suffer a little bit because of that. But the man can hit, and he can really do it all. So he's well worth that high draft pick you spent on. I'm going to be second round, third round pick. I think he's going to pay off. I'm a Javi Baez believer. You know, would I like him to be more selective? Do you hope it comes along with the experience? Sure. But at this point, that's not why I drafted him. I know he's going to be that type of hitter here. But, I'm a Baez believer. I think he's going to have a big season.
Kyle Schwarber, 3-for-5 yesterday, hit a home run. And, you're on Twitter, you're like, you're seeing people say, see, I told you about this guy, Schwarber. Still very early in the season. Basically, he's given you some home run power, but just that batting average that has been an issue with Schwarber. Your thoughts on Schwarber? Is he rosterable? Probably. Based on our conversations, I don't see him as a guy that you would focus on because of that batting average. But the power is legit, no?
The power is certainly legit. I mean, listen, Schwarber has 2 issues. You mentioned 1, batting average. The other one's defense. So he's not going to play. He's going to lose at bats because he can't play defense. He's not an outfielder. He's an American League player. I mean, the Cubs probably made a mistake in not trading him when he really had high value to an American League team. Now that value has come down because of the average, because of the type of hitter he's become. But at one time, he was a top prospect, and if they would have dealt him to that American League team, they would have gotten a lot for him. And I think they made a mistake in not dealing him. I know the Yankees, and you know this as well, they were very much interested in him, but the Cubs wouldn't move him to the Yankees. So I think that he is what he is. You know you're going to get him. 25 home runs with a .240 average wouldn't shock me. Can you afford that? And that's the question. Can you afford that? When I go into a draft, I've said this many times, .272 is about league average. And I don't know, it depends on what you're trying to hit in your fantasy league. It may take a .282 average to win your league. So if I were to grab, that's how I would start over. 282 would be the first thing on my chart. And if I draft someone like Schwarber, well, now I have to minus 40 off that. Yeah, because he's going to bat 242. So I need to make up 40 points in average if I want to win that category of wherever I want to be. You know, so that's the problem. That's a lot to make up. I don't mind taking a Schwarber or a Gallo, someone like that, but I'm only taking one of them. I can probably make up one. I can't make up two. There's the issue. Right. Now you have to be very careful with who else you bid on, or else you win. And you don't want to. I can't take Gallo, who's now 60. I'm minus 60. I'm already minus 100 points with two guys. Yes, they might hit me 70 home runs, and they'll go a long way to help me win that category. But they're killing me in average. So in some ways, it just offsets each other.
Yep. From the Rangers side. Runya Odor, second baseman, 2-for-4, run batted in. Let's see. Andrus, 2-for-4. And Estrubel Cabrera, a guy that I kind of was targeting late in drafts as a corner infielder. Wasn't looking to get him as like my main third base option here, but I just like what the guy brings to the table. You know, it doesn't kill you with batting average, upwards of 20 home runs, and just kind of a guy that just flies under the radar. What do you think about Estrubel Cabrera as the Rangers' regular third baseman this season?
I mean, listen, he's got He qualifies at so many positions, second, short, third. We like that. I think he'll last the whole season? Unlikely. So I think he's going to have some injury concerns eventually, where you're going to have to move him around someplace. We'll get a replacement for him for a game here, a game there. But as a hitter, he can hit. And he plays in, once again, a great hitter's ballpark in Texas. The ball flies out all over the place. And just wait till it starts to heat up. Yeah, you know, and once again, the ball goes even further here. So I have no problem with Cabrera. He's not someone in draft I was looking to get. He's more the guy I ended up with. Yeah, and we all have that kind of player. You know, I didn't want him, but okay, that's who I ended up with. Because I ended up taking other players, taking extra outfielders or extra pitchers, whatever it might be, and he's the guy I ended up with. I think he's a serviceable player fantasy-wise who he is what he is. We're all going to have average guys at certain positions. Cabrera is that guy. I don't think he's going to kill your team, but he's not going to win you a championship either.
Right. Jose Leclerc picked up his first save of the season for the Rangers. Is he a guy that you think is going to be with this team all season long? Or do you think that, you know, the Rangers might end up falling out of it and maybe, put him on the block? Or is he like a long-term option, you think, for the Rangers? Is he a guy that, fantasy owners should worry about?
Probably not, because he's signed a longer-term contract. That probably does keep him in Texas. So that'd be one. I think you're okay there. Yeah, because I think he is the same type of player, is that if he were to be dealt, it wouldn't be as a closer. So I know where you're going with this. But I think he's okay in Texas because of the contract he signed. You know, he's not a one-year done, because I know a lot of teams, they believe relievers are volatile. Right, that they're going to they're good 1 year, terrible the next year. And listen, even the contract he signed is not terrible. 4 year, $14.75 million. So it's movable if they want them to move him. But I think Texas views him as more of a long term guy here that they have control over. That contract's not going to kill them. I think he stays in Texas.
All right. So when we come back from break, why don't we switch gears? Do a few minutes on some football news. Like I said, Jordan Howard is with the Eagles now. Isaiah Crowell with the Raiders. I'm going to get your take fantasy-wise with that. Doug Baldwin's having more surgery. Gronk retired. So is Gronk going to be a movie star or a wrestler? Josh Rosen, where does he end up? I also want to talk a little bit about Patrick Mahomes. You know, Tyreek Hill has some off-the-field issues that the NFL is going to be looking at. I just want to get your take, George, as to what you think the potential, let's say, for a Tyreek Hill suspension might do to Patrick Mahomes' fantasy value. We come back, switch gears for a few minutes. Like I mentioned, a little fantasy football talk. And you're listening to Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Galina, George Kurtz, and Sean Engel.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.